Shaving Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And Tommy is sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We have lots of Nintendo news. We have Nintendo sales numbers. We've got new Labo coming, which is exciting. We've also got some PlayStation news, some news on Spider-Man and some other games, some No Man's Sky news, and of course, game releases, which we're trying and keeping doing, and so that should be fun. So yeah, good stuff. What's up, man? How you doing?
Sounds really good. I will mention, though, that you're a little robotic there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Let me fix that for you. Did that fix it?
Yeah, there it is. There we go.
We're playing with new software, yeah, so figuring out all the settings.
Love me some new software. So
whatever, in the intro you told me to turn up the production a little bit, that also turned up the roboticness, and so.
Actually, it's really cool. We ought to find a good way to use that, because that's a neat little effect right there.
Yeah, so. Nobody hears it except you. And now you shouldn't hear it, so hopefully we're fixed.
I'm good, sir. I'm glad to be here. I sent you a text yesterday which basically said, man, it sucks to be an adult, so I'm glad to be here.
Yes. I definitely hear you there. I've been traveling and crazy and all that stuff, and so
Man, you have been everywhere.
A little exhausted. I got to tell you, the little girl is not into the car seat at this time after being in the car seat for quite a bit of time this past month. In the month of July, we traveled a good little bit, traveled back home, which is about a 6 or 7 hour drive, and then went to Memphis this past week, which is about a 7 to 8 hour drive. And everything's a little bit longer with a baby, and so that makes it fun. And so on the trip back, she just got to the point, like, we'd put her in the car seat and she would just yell at us. Not like crying, screaming, just screaming, angry screaming, just like, nope,
like,
not interested, don't want to do this anymore.
You idiots, thank you.
That was exactly it, which was immensely cute because she is immensely cute. And so it was like cracking us up, which just made her more frustrated because we're like laughing at her cuteness. And she's like, it's great, guys. I don't want to be in the car. And so she was happy to be home for sure.
I got to admit that she is unique in being a baby in that I've never really met one like you've talked about. She is extraordinarily vocal, and when we say vocal, we don't mean crying. We mean it's very obvious when she wants something or doesn't want something, and I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, and she's gotten louder and louder progressively over it. And like you said, not crying. She is not a crying baby. She cries, you know, a little bit here and there, but really very little, especially for a baby. While we were visiting people in Memphis, I have several friends that have children and babies, and every time we were around another baby and they would like cry like a baby does, like just normal baby crying, we'd be like, oh wow, that's so weird. We kind of forgot that babies just cry sometimes because our baby doesn't. She just doesn't like cry, like really at all, unless she needs something. And then like here, have a bottle or take a nap, and she's good. You know, she doesn't cry for no reason ever. So we're quite spoiled.
Knock on wood, because it may yes. It may not always be that way.
That is 100% fair, and so assuming that it stays that way, we are fortunate, and so for now we're quite happy.
It's kind of funny. She's kind of like the voice that I have in my head. She's kind of like Jack Nicholson. She's like, "You're stupid. Give me what I want."
Yes. And I think that's probably pretty accurate of what's going through her head at any given time. Like, she's fully aware that she's in control. Like, she knows she's the most important person in the room at all times, and so she has no problem in leveraging that to whatever she wants. And so she'll let you know, but she does it without crying.
Well,
which is nice.
And since we're on that, I can't believe the first segment of the show is going to be the baby segment. But you went to Memphis to essentially show off the little girl.
Yes.
And I assume you came home with more stuff than you left with.
Definitely, yes. we for sure came home with more stuff than we left with, which is already a bunch of stuff because, as I mentioned before, traveling with a baby requires an absurd amount of stuff. And so... but we got more, and so, yeah, we've got more baby clothes, and we have a little wagon now, which I'm pretty pumped about, and, you know, fun stuff that 6 months ago would have never crossed my mind to be geeked out about that now I'm geeked out about all the time.
And it's a lot of fun, and I gotta be honest, I said this last week, and it's so weird to say last week, but it actually was last week, said this last week that you guys got some amazing stuff going on there, and I'm ready to come back because I'm thoroughly annoyed at what I'm missing.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There is that. That's 100% fair. So all that said, she's phenomenal, and we can't get enough of her, and that's great. So I will mention I have played no games, just nothing in the past week because I've spent most of the week traveling and then catching up on work, and so I am struggling to try to. I played about 20 minutes maybe of Octopath Traveler last night, and it was just battles. Like, I'm just in an open world kind of area on the game, and so it was just random encounters and just like working on leveling up. I gained like half a level in 20 minutes, you know, of my like level 6 character or whatever. And so that's it. That's all the gaming I've done, unfortunately.
Well, I have not even done that. I have been very, very busy adulting. However, in the time that I should have been playing games, I told you that I took some time and watched a movie by the name of Baby Driver, which was so good that I watched it twice. And
nice.
And I told you that, and I also told Cabbage, because I sent Cabbage a text and said to him that he needed to review it on his podcast, which, by the way, if you haven't heard that, it's currently considered on all of the outlets that there are there. So definitely check that out.
Absolutely.
They will spoil a movie for you. So if you're not into that, they will totally screw it up and they do not care. But it's really cool. I told him he's got to look into it. I told you to look into it because it is heavy on the music side and on the production side, and that's kind of your thing. That's where you live, and I think you're gonna dig it.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about it. I mentioned that you sent me that text, and the day before, the people that we stayed with in Memphis, they have a son who's in college right now. He and I were chatting just about random stuff, and he was like, "Have you seen this movie, Baby Driver?" And I was like, "No, I haven't seen it." He's like, "It's really good, you know." And we talked about it for a bit because it's
right.
The name comes from a Simon and Garfunkel song, and so that was a good musical connection. And so we talked about that, which randomly, good bit of trivia, also last year. So Baby Driver came out last year. Also The Only Living Boy from New York, a movie that came out last year, also named after a Simon Garfunkel song off of that same album, The Bridge Over Troubled Water album. So, yeah,
the,
there you go.
The Simon and Garfunkel song does not play until the credits, but it is in there. Nice. Which I thought that was quite interesting, but
and is a really good Simon and Garfunkel song.
Yes, it's very, very
both
very
of those.
Good.
The Only Living Boy in New York and Baby Driver are two of my favorites off of that album.
Well, and
of which I don't love A Bridge Over Troubled Water. I think it's kind of a terrible song, but the rest of that album is pretty good.
Well, I think you're gonna love the movie. Like I said, from a production side, if you're not a production geek, you might not enjoy it quite as much. But I watched it, and it, like, enthralled me because I'd never seen anything where the soundtrack basically ran through the entire movie. Like, there was always music in the background, and if it stopped, it was noticeable, and there was a reason for it. And I just, from a production side of things, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to check it out. So, in all my movie
I cannot
watching
wait
time.
For you to see it, but you got to have good sound.
Yeah, that's fair. But I'm excited about it, so I need to do that at some point. So, all that being said, since we haven't played any games, I guess we should talk about games and at least pretend we know what we're doing.
Let's
right?
do it. Yeah, I don't know why people still listen to the show, but we can actually sound credible right here. Watch this.
We're gonna try yeah. really quickly before we do that because I always forget to do this, and so I've been trying to do it at the beginning of the show. A quick shout out to the Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. As always, thank you guys a ton for your support. We appreciate it more than you know. And if you're interested in also supporting us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com. There is the Patreon link on the top of the page over on the right-hand side. Click that and give us some money, and we'll buy some games and try to play them sometime. I did buy a game. Haven't played it yet, but I did buy a game yesterday with some Patreon money. So expect, hopefully I'll get to that soon.
What did you get?
This is The Police 2, and so I played the first one and really enjoyed it. It's a weird game. It's ultimately kind of a resource management game that you're a police chief, and you have like your roster of officers and detectives, and you have to send them out to investigate crimes or to investigate different cases for your detectives and whatever. And so it's kind of a fun, interesting little gimmick that way. But it's the story is like you're corrupt, and it's just kind of a how corrupt do you want to be game. And so you could be like super full on corrupt, or you could be like, okay, I'm corrupt, but I'm kind of corrupt because I'm trying to do things the right way for my family or for, you know, my legacy or whatever it is. And so
that sounds
you get
like
to make
a lot of fun.
It's really interesting. And so the first one, both of them, it's really kind of simplistic graphics. It's not super simple, but it's not, you know, 3D. It's very management sim kind of approach. And so it's not like high action or anything like that, which one of the things I do like about that is I can do some of that while I'm working, where I can't play something like God of War while I'm working. But this is something that I can take a 5-minute break and do a little bit in the game and feel like I'm accomplishing something. And so I'm excited about that aspect of it. This one, apparently, of what I've seen with like the videos and stuff, has like some like tactical combat in it now, like XCOM-ish combat, it looks like, and has really stepped it up. But it's like the first one was based in like a big kind of city. This one feels like it's like a rural like town out in the woods somewhere or something like that. And so I'm pretty pumped to get into it because I really enjoyed the first one. And so yeah, again, you'll be seeing more content about that hopefully soon, because hopefully I'll have some time to play it.
I am going to endeavor this weekend to start Life is Strange Before the Storm. So
very nice.
Look forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
Speaking
of,
I have
world.
Also the awesome adventures of
Captain Spirit. Yeah,
Captain Spirit sitting on my computer too that I need to play. I fired it up once and was like, I'm going to play this, and then I never got past the loading screen. And so I need to do that one too.
Yeah, can we just mention the fact that we've said before, time is an issue.
Yeah.
And if you don't want time to be an issue, there are various different ways you can do that. But the more on the financial side that we have, the easier it'll be to make time to do this.
Absolutely.
So all of you guys that are thinking about donating or becoming a Patreon, it really does help because time is seriously an issue.
Yes.
For both of us, and it seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, it's not getting better for sure. So
one of the guys at work yesterday, I was at work yesterday, and one of the guys says to me, he looks at me straight in the eye, and he goes, "I think my new life goal needs to be to win the lottery." And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go with that. Because I think that's necessary at this point.
I know. Yeah, the older I get, the more I just want time. And money is the way you get time. So,
yes.
I hear you.
So
it would be nice.
I will say this. I have another buddy that I work with that actually lives with his father-in-law, his mother and father-in-law. And he says that his father-in-law is like, I don't know, 65 or 70, and that all this guy does is play games because he's retired.
Nice.
And he spends more time on Fallout than us. And so I have faith that eventually, at some point, you and I are going to get there.
I like it.
And this show might actually be what it's intended to be at the point where we retire and this is what we have time to do.
I love it. That'll be amazing. I'm just picturing, like, mid-60s Jamie and Tommy sitting here doing Gaming Uncensored.
We can do it, baby. We can do it. We can do it.
More years.
Hey,
here we go.
Can you imagine my boss that I work with, who I love? I've told you about this guy. He's 89 years old, and one of the greatest things that he has is that he loves working in virtual worlds, because no matter where you go in the virtual world or on the internet, you always know where the bathroom is. I love that. Like, you do whatever you want to do, and you don't have to leave your house. That's where I want us to be.
Yeah.
So
that's a good life. I dig it.
Yes, so. It is.
So all that being said, news for the week. Like I mentioned, we have lots of Nintendo, and so we're going to start with Nintendo, and we're going to carry on with Nintendo for a little bit. First of all, with some sales numbers, just kind of where the Switch is at this point. And so for reference sake, the Switch has been out for a year and five months, whatever it is. It's at 20 million units, just about, pretty close, coming up on 20 million units sold. And Nintendo's profits, remember just a couple years ago with the Wii U and talking about Nintendo's steady decrease, Nintendo's profits have jumped a whopping 88% over the past earnings report. And so Nintendo's doing okay is the ultimate takeaway of where we are right now. And again, the fact that the Switch is at 20 million units is a pretty big deal. Put that in context, the PlayStation 4 is at a little over 80 million. We'll talk about some of their sales stuff here in a bit. The Xbox One, it seems, is about at 40 million. Microsoft doesn't report the sales numbers quite as openly as Sony and Nintendo do, so that's our kind of guess, but that seems fair. So very much right now kind of the three big guys delineated, but remember that the Switch has been out for a year and a half, whereas the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One have been out for 3.5 years. I don't know. When did they come out? They've been out a while. They had quite the head start. And so it'll be interesting to see how close the Switch can get to that Xbox One number. I don't think they have any chance of catching Sony, but they have a chance of catching Microsoft.
Well, and I don't think it necessarily matters. The moral of the story here is, and we said this, that we weren't ever going to talk bad about Nintendo again. I don't care what happens in the next cycle. I don't care how bad it looks. I'm not ever going to say another bad word about Nintendo. Because whatever happens, they're going to be fine. That's it. You can just book it. It's really about the other guys. Because the other guys, whether they realize it or not, have stuff to worry about. Nintendo is Nintendo, and they're always going to be Nintendo, and they're always going to do what they need to do. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They've proven time and time again that they can remain relevant and will find ways to do that, even through periods where it seems like that's a long ways away. I will say, I think all three companies are in a really good place right now. And Microsoft's Xbox One sales haven't been, you know, what they had hoped for, and I think that's fair to say. But Microsoft's doing okay. Like, I'm not worried about them. They're working on this next console, and they're going to put out Scarlet, whatever it is. It is honestly the one that we're talking about at this point. We don't have any clue what Nintendo's doing next, and to be fair, we don't really know what Sony's doing next. It wouldn't surprise me if they are going kind of the same way that Microsoft is. But Microsoft's the one out there that's, you know, we hear 2020 a lot. We know that this is likely coming and what it's probably going to look like and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, makes sense. You know, like, I think all three of them are, like, I think the gaming industry is in a really healthy place right now, and then throw the PC in with that, especially with just, like, the games on Steam, like, talking about This Is the Police 2, a super random game that, like, 40 people are probably going to play or whatever, you know? But there's a billion of those. If there's something you want to play, there's probably something you can play that's going to tickle whatever itch you have for whatever gaming thing. And so between consoles and PCs, it's a good time to be a gamer. I think we've said that every single year since we've been doing this show, and I would contend that it gets better and better every year. Like, it is better to be a gamer in 2018 than it was in 2017, and definitely than it was in 2005.
I will say that it may not always be that way. We may get to a point where there's a slump. We may get to the point where somebody does something, I don't know, Activision stupid. but for right now, we're in a really, really good space.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to stay that way for a while.
Yeah, I agree. And the great thing about having three companies that are in pretty healthy competition with each other is that if one of them does do something stupid, like we saw Sony did with the PlayStation 3 several years ago, like, the industry itself doesn't collapse because it's not built off of that one company. And so Sony screwed up, and Microsoft swooped in and kind of was like, okay, we'll fill that gap, you know, and they did a great job of it with the Xbox 360. When Nintendo screwed up with the Wii U, like, they still had the 3DS, and we had Sony and Microsoft here to consistently still give us good games, and it gave enough space for Nintendo to come back and do something innovative, and here we are. And so the health of the industry is definitely dependent on having more than one or two players that are viable. And we got that. And so even if somebody screws up, even if somebody does an Activision level stupidity thing, whatever, like, still in a good place.
Which,
like,
by the way, if somebody from Activision wants to email and yell at us, go right ahead, because we got it on tape.
By all means.
Yeah, we got it on tape. We can dig it up and we can prove to you that you did something stupid.
Which is honestly okay, too, because, like, if you make up for it, you know, like, it's ultimately the thing. But, like, EA used to be the evil empire. At this point, I don't feel that way about EA. I don't have ill will towards EA like I did 10 years ago, you know? Like, I'm not, like, a EA fanboy and running out to buy every EA game, but they're fine. And I'm going to play some of their stuff because it's really good, you know? And whatever. It's yeah. the industry kind of self-corrects, and it's capitalism at work, and I love it.
And I love the fact that capitalism always comes up on this show, because we have to mention the fact that capitalism is what makes all this stuff work. And you can say what you want about other things going on, but healthy business is good for everybody, and making money is good for everybody. And I really feel like that the industry as a whole is making a whole lot of money for everybody. And part of the reason I love doing this show is I think at some point before we die, we're going to get a piece of that pie. I don't know how, because we're two schmoes out in the middle of nowhere, but I would really love to get a piece of that pie before we die.
Sure. And we've got a sliver. I mean,
yes, we do.
A little bit. I completely agree. We could get into a whole different conversation of other things. But for the video game industry, it's a good thing, and it's in a good place. The industry is healthy. So, keeping with Nintendo, a couple more things on Nintendo. First of all, a Labo update. There's new Labo kits coming. Specifically the Labo vehicle kit, which includes a steering wheel, and so
Mario Kart, baby.
Right, kind of a legit cardboard steering wheel. I'm really interested, and a pedal. And so you get a little pedal so one of the Joy-Cons goes in the steering wheel, and then one goes in the pedal, and that's how you can control, steering and acceleration, and maybe some other stuff if they get really creative with it. And the steering wheel has a couple of little handles for blinkers, or it has a little string that you can pull, think of a lawnmower that on the little trailer that they have shows it making this little car do a wheelie. And so different ways you could use it. Obviously with Mario Kart, that's where my brain goes to. You could think of having the little string as how you deploy a weapon or whatever, do a slide or jump or whatever. Could be cool.
And see, here's what I love about that. A kit like that is going to own us. Because that has some very, very seriously practical applications for a game that we love.
Yes, a lot more so than the kind of first Toy-Con pack did, outside of the motorcycle one, which kind of seems the most practical to play games with. And so this is kind of doubling down on that. There's also, in the same box, you get the Toy-Con plane, which is like a joystick, it has the joystick with a little trigger on it, again at the key, so the all three of the kind of steering mechanisms work off the same cardboard key that you put the one of the Joy-Cons in. And then the final one is a submarine, which looks the weirdest out of all of them. It has two wheels on either side that you turn to steer. And that one doesn't seem like it'd be super practical. But the plane and the steering wheel one, I could see games that are fun to play with those that could be practical. So we can hope. It comes out September 14th and will cost you $70 for a box of cardboard. Again, which the brilliance of Nintendo, they're selling you cardboard for $70 and people are going to buy it.
Did we mention thank you, Patreon people, because you'll be paying for that.
Yes, and hopefully get some more content of us putting cardboard together, because that was a blast the first time around, right?
Yeah, it was. And the only thing I'm saying is next time there will be more alcohol, because for the record, we went light on the alcohol that evening.
That's right.
We need to add more alcohol.
I'll take it.
But other than
that, it does
that,
make it more entertaining.
Absolutely, yes.
100%. So, a couple more Nintendo things. If you are really missing the GameCube controller, which I don't know why you would be, but people really like the thing, especially for Smash Brothers, there is a GameCube-styled Switch controller coming. And so you can play Switch games with essentially a GameCube controller. which again blows my mind because I thought that controller sucked.
You know, there is a market for everything, and if Nintendo wants to do that, that's good for them because they'll probably make $80 million.
Probably.
Because you know, we've talked about the Smash Brothers as a huge deal for everybody but us. Yeah. So they're going to make some money.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Now, one of the things that it looks like you'll be able to do with it, which is a really good idea, and this makes it a little bit more practical, is that, so remember, the GameCube controller has two analog sticks, but that second analog stick was the camera stick, and so it's not like a full analog stick. Like, it had that weird little nub on it instead of having kind of the standard analog shape to it. That will apparently be modular, that you can switch it out for like a standard analog stick, so you'll still have the kind of two analog stick versatility of a modern controller with it, which seems really important. It also comes in a Mario version, a Zelda version, and a Pikachu version, and so if you want to rep one of your favorite games, you can do that.
Love them SKUs.
Yes, well done. So and right now, in Japan, they will cost you about 3,000 yen, which turns into about $27, which not bad. But just for Japan at this point. We'll see if they ever land in America. You would think so.
You know they're going to. I would be shocked if they didn't.
Me too. Quite shocked. So one last thing on Nintendo, and then we'll talk about some other people, I promise. But this one worth mentioning, maybe not our favorite story about Nintendo. Nintendo's suing, and anytime these big companies start suing, I get a little hesitant about them. But specifically, suing ROM distribution sites. So briefly, assuming everybody understands what we're talking about here, but ROMs are how you can emulate especially old school games, though I think there's like a PlayStation 3 emulator out there now, and so it's getting more current. But I always think of emulators with like Nintendo, Super Nintendo games, and have downloaded my fair share of emulators and played lots of them. So ROMs are the games, the actual little files that the games, like the virtual cartridge, that lots of websites distribute. And to be fair, if you don't actually own the game, it's not quite legal to download the ROM and be playing it. The legalities get blurry at best. But the websites that distribute those is a little sketchy. And so Nintendo's going after them. And a couple of big ROM websites have gotten shut down. And it looks like they're going after more.
Couple of things on this. First of all, they totally have the right to do this because they are Nintendo, and they're the company that owns the rights to this software. So that is totally their right. However, I heard a quote from Dave Matthews at one point that said somebody was talking to him about music piracy. And he said, look, and they were talking to him specifically about bootlegs because, you know, live concerts, as I've told you, is what that band does best. They just put out a new record, and the new record's okay, but if you want to hear the music as intended, you go to a live show because that's what they do. And he said that they were talking to him about bootlegs and stuff, and he was like, look, I have made so much money because people like the music that we do. And I get to go out and I get to play music and do all the things that I want to do for a living. I've made enough money. I'm not going to sweat people making bootlegs because they like my stuff. And I sort of feel the same way about these ROM sites. Like, Nintendo, we've already talked about for the first half of the show, Nintendo's making money, and they're in a good space. So at some point, I kind of feel like that it's kind of Scroogey to be going after these sites like this.
Yep.
And I don't know that Scroogey is a word, but I just made it up.
And, I like it.
And I don't know that you feel the same way, but that's kind of where I'm at.
I do, almost completely. And like I said, I've done this before. Been a while, and I've admitted freely, as have you, we've pirated plenty of games in our history, and I don't anymore. I could, I imagine. I haven't even tried in quite a while.
I haven't because I haven't had a reason, but I think I'm in a different space than you are.
Sure.
If I come up with a reason, I would still be willing to do so if I had a good reason to do so.
And one of the reasons that you had at least at one point that I always thought was super fair is that you wanted to make sure that you could actually play a game before you bought it.
Right.
You know, like that the accessibility was there. And so, like, to me, like, I'm not going to look twice at you downloading a game to see if you can play it. And then going, yep, it works, and going and buying it, or saying, nope, it doesn't work, and not playing it anymore,
right,
and never buying it.
You know,
I get that completely.
I've got several games in my Steam library, Gauntlet being one of them, that I bought that I was excited about because you and I would be able to run through it, and it's completely unplayable on mouse and keyboard. So that money that I spent, at least right now, until the accessibility controller comes out, and assuming that that works well, is completely wasted. And I have several games in my Steam library that are that way, because they're just some games that, even if they are accessible, even if they work on the mouse and keyboard theoretically well, I don't even know if I have the dexterity to do what is necessary to play that game.
Yeah.
Like, I told you, one of the banes of my existence at this point in video games is the aim button. And Fallout 4 has an aim button, which makes me cringe because you're like, what's the big deal? It just helps you aim better. Yeah, but it's an extra button I have to push.
Yep.
And that's a huge deal for a guy that is extremely limited. And so, yeah, that's still a thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's totally fair. I get that 100%. I'll make two other quick points on this idea. First of all, people who are going to go through the work of downloading an emulator and ROMs or whatever are people that are kind of dedicated and are at least somewhat tech savvy. Like, it's not hard to do, but it's never been something that if you aren't motivated to do it, you're just going to kind of stumble upon and go do it or whatever. Like, you kind of have that in mind. And for those people, Nintendo shutting down a couple of sites isn't going to stop anything.
No.
You know, like, you're going to find them. In fact, I just, like, while you were talking, typed in on Google, so this isn't super techie, Nintendo ROM downloads, and I just downloaded a Super Mario Brothers ROM. You know, like, I mean, there it was. I found it. I downloaded it. Done. I don't even have an emulator loaded on my computer, so maybe it doesn't work. I can't verify it, but it sure was easy, and there's a billion, you know, results of I'm looking at a different one now that's, you know, here's a whole bunch of other ROMs, Mega Man, whatever. And so shutting down a couple sites isn't going to fix the problem, and ultimately, like, suing people just kind of makes you look petty and bad for something that you're not going to fix. Like, again, you're absolutely right, they have every right to do it. Second thing, and you mentioned Steam several times and how you've even spent money on games that you can't play on Steam, and part of that's because it's just so stinking easy to buy games on Steam. And so Nintendo, if you want to curb this and actually make money off of these games, make it easy to buy them and access them. And that, to me, is just like, give us a good virtual console. If you would bring the virtual console and you'd give me access to a whole bunch of these Nintendo and Super Nintendo games at a couple of bucks a pop, yep, I'm going to do it when I get an urge to play Super Mario World, or I get an urge to play A Link to the Past or whatever. Like, yeah, I'll give you $5 for one of those, probably pretty easily. And that's probably overpriced at this point in time. Like, make it easy for me to get these games, and I'll pay you for them. You know, like, you just got to make them accessible. If I get the urge to, like, play Super Metroid, which is a game, one of my favorite games of all time,
hey,
I'll play
I've got a Super Metroid ROM on my system that you pointed me to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sitting there, and the reason it's still there is, I'm saying again, when that accessibility controller comes out, I need playing me some Metroid. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I'm going to play that game every, you know, 3 or 4 years. I'm going to play through it because I love that game. And the past several times I've done it via an emulator because that's the easiest way to access it. But if Nintendo would put it up, and again, for $5 or whatever, I would buy it in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even think twice about it. Like, I would rather play it on the Switch. I think that would be a blast as opposed to playing it on a PC, which is a little clunky and weird. Like, the Switch is a great platform for it. You just got to make them available. And I think that's the thing that Nintendo's really missing here. Go sue people, whatever. Like, it's not going to help your fans like you more. But giving us access, especially those of us who are getting older and nostalgic and love those Nintendo and Super Nintendo titles, give us easy access to those. And this is a place where I would love to see, even a subscription model could be cool of, you know, $5 a month or whatever, that you get access to the back catalog of Nintendo games. Yeah, it just...
And
I don't understand. It seems so easy to be making tons of money off of this that Nintendo's not making.
We have to give them credit because they are getting there. They've had a virtual console on the last few machines. They are slowly figuring this out. And I'm all for them taking their time to get it done and get it done right. My issue is suing people and shutting them down. Because nobody on these ROM sites, as far as I'm aware, is making money off these ROMs. They're not.
They're selling ads on their website, so they're getting revenue. It's not nothing, but I can't imagine they're making a ton.
No, they can't be making that much. And so the suing is my issue. Yeah. Nintendo, we know you're trying. We know it's something you want to do. We get it. But when you start suing people, you look a little skeevy.
Yes. That's a good way to put
it. Yeah.
I agree 100%. Just doesn't look great. So get it, whatever. It's your prerogative. Do what you want. I would prefer what you want to do be giving us easy access to games. So.
Yeah.
Moving on to Sony, a couple things. And Sony, first of all, quickly on the sales stuff for Sony as well. The PlayStation 4 obviously doing quite well, as I mentioned, is now over 80 million units shipped, which is impressive. I believe that has outpaced the lifetime sales of the PlayStation 3 by a good little bit. So Sony's back in a big way, but a big reason that's happened, at least the bump recently, is because of God of War and really how exceedingly well that game has done sales-wise. Not only is it a fantastic game, I play tons of fantastic games that don't sell well. This is one that's fantastic and it sold really well.
Which, holy cow, can we stop for 2 minutes and just gush about God of War a little bit? Because that we talked about that we didn't really play games, but one thing that I did have a chance to do this week and some of last week is catch up on God of War. And you said to me on the last show, did you see the dragon? And I saw the dragon and, like, holy crap. Like, that is the most epic. Like, that right there, that battle, was the first time that I can think of that I saw something and I said to myself, I really wish I had a 4K TV right now.
Yeah.
Because I want to see this on a 4K TV. And I have I have Chad in my brain, that little voice going, they're only $70. Just go pick one out. Or I get $70. It's like it's nothing. Don't even worry about it.
Spot
it's
on, Chad.
It's totally worth it. It's not. It's no money whatsoever. I mean, like, you can find that money in your couch, right? I mean, they're dirt cheap. But I saw that, and I'm like, man, this would look great in 4K.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't even know how to describe it anymore. It is so good.
That's my favorite gaming experience I've had in a while. That since Zelda, probably. And Horizon, as fantastic as so many experiences have been and will be in Horizon, because we still got to finish that game too. That God of War battle was phenomenal. It was so freaking good.
Can we talk about, because I talked about it at the beginning, but part of what is getting me about this game is the leveling and the ramping up of abilities, because you're probably right at halfway through, like we talked about on the last show. And Kratos, for me as a viewer, is getting really fun to watch, because
yes,
every time you upgrade, it is a noticeable upgrade. Like, he gets to be a badder dude every time you upgrade. Like, it's not like you upgrade and you're like, okay, well, that does a few more points of damage. Like, it's a major upgrade, and it makes the game more fun to play.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I came in a little bit skeptical, in part because God of War has always been kind of this weapons-based game. Like, you get new weapons and that's your new abilities. And I knew coming in that this one didn't work that way, that everything's really centered around his axe. And so I was a little bit bummed about that, because it's always like one of the fun things about God of War is you get a new weapon and you get to figure out how to play with it and if you like it or don't like it or whatever. So instead, what they do is, through the leveling mechanisms, you kind of get different play styles, adaptability, depending on how you level up and what you level up. And so it's all the axe, but the axe can be, you know, big power weapon, or it can be, you know, more, you know, fast, quick hits kind of thing. And so, or a combination. That's ultimately kind of where I've landed, is I do a lot of both, and finding kind of the abilities that I really like and utilizing those and not using some of the ones that I thought were dumb and whatever. And so it actually plays really well, where I was worried and a bit skeptical of it coming in. I'll also mention that, like, I didn't even realize for the longest time that there's a summon ability that Atreus can, like, summon these like spirit beings, like wolves and stuff, to come in and fight. I constantly forget I have that as an ability. I hardly ever use it.
I don't think I've ever seen you use it. That's really cool.
Yeah, I've just noticed it a couple of times, like scrolling through the menus going, oh, right, I have that. And then I'll use it like once or twice while it's fresh on my mind, and then I'll forget about it. And so, yeah, there's even abilities in there that I don't remember. Atreus does so many cool things with now having different types of arrows and being able to utilize those in battle in different ways, and him like jumping on the back of an enemy and giving you like time to pull off like one of the really big like cleaving hits. That's always really fun and super cinematic. And yeah, the game plays so well. It's a blast. It's just phenomenal. So hats off, Sony. You did well. That was a game that led to a boost in sales, and probably the same is going to be true of this next game, which is Spider-Man. I think it's going to be a really big deal, and it's officially gone gold, meaning that it's done as much as it's going to be done before they release it, and then patch it several times, more than likely. But it's ready to be released. The official release date is September 7th, and so we're just over a month away.
Well,
and I got a feeling that's going to be one that's like a drop everything, we have to play this.
And the thing is, and this is the reason that you and I aren't getting more done than we're getting done. It's yes, we're busy. Yes, we got a lot going on. We're adulting like everybody else. But the thing is when you got God of War and you sit down for an hour and a half or Spider-Man or whatever it is, like, I could play Life is Strange or I could play Fallout or I could play insert game here, but really what I want is for you to set your happy butt down, and I wanna see God of War till it's done. Like, that's where my head's at right now. Like, don't really care about anything else. I want that. And I feel like Spider-Man's gonna be the same way. Horizon is very much the same way. Like, I don't remember a time, it's been a long time, since we have these landmark games that are all so good, and you start playing one, and I have no interest in playing anything else until those are done. Do you feel the same way? I mean, I know you're playing other stuff, but I think the reason you're playing other stuff is because you have to play something.
Yeah.
But if you were able, like, you'd lock yourself in a room and do nothing but that until it's done.
Yes, 100%. That is absolutely correct. And it says something that all those games are Sony games that you just mentioned. And I'm playing other games. I'm playing Octopath, and that's Nintendo. I'm playing, you know, stuff on Steam, on PC. But given my druthers, if I just have an hour of time to play a game, it's going to be God of War, no doubt. And I have Detroit sitting in my house I haven't even touched yet. That's on the list. Obviously, Spider-Man is going to be right there. Again, Sony titles. And it's us, and we've talked about this a ton. We have different gaming tastes than other people, and so we're not the big Battlefield or Call of Duty guys or big Madden guys or whatever. And so if you're into that stuff, it's going to be different games that you're into. But for us who love good narrative-driven single-player experiences, Sony has the market fairly well cornered on that right now, and that doesn't appear to be ending anytime soon. Speaking of, one of those games that kind of falls into that world, though maybe not quite as much, the August lineup for PlayStation Plus games has officially been announced. Just how the calendar fell this month, it's a little weird. So the games are announced on August 1st and don't actually come out until August 7th. Whatever. The games that you are going to get, the two big titles, are Mafia 3 and Dead by Daylight. Both of which are apparently good games. Mafia 3 was a little bit of a letdown for some people I know, but still I think at the end of the day, people kind of agree that's a pretty solid title and big narrative-driven title. Dead by Daylight is kind of it seems a little gimmicky to me. I don't entirely get it as a multiplayer kind of one versus four thing, but people dig it. And then on top of that, they're also giving away a PlayStation VR game, which I don't know that they've done that before. If so, it hasn't happened a ton. And so that may be something that they try to do each month as well. Plus, they're also doing one of their, what do they call it? The PlayStation 4 Kinect or something like that. That it, like, interfaces, it's a quiz game that interfaces with like your smartphone. And so you can play with people on the console and on the smartphone. They showed off another game at E3 last year, a couple of games that used that system. I don't remember what it's called. So, all that to say that they're expanding their PlayStation Plus offerings to some other stuff than just kind of the typical games that we expect. And Mafia 3, I think, is a fairly big deal, and I'm kind of excited to play it.
Like I said, good free games is always good. So
yep.
We pay for PlayStation Plus every year, and we're going to keep paying for it because that's some good software.
Yes, 100%. So I'll mention, go by the show notes because we're running out of time, as we always are. Some details about No Man's Sky, including the kind of headline, is that over 40,000 concurrent users, players on Steam after the next update came out, which is apparently good. And I've been hearing really positive things about No Man's Sky, and I think it's still on sale. It was at least for a while. I'll look really quick. It was on sale for half off, and so it's still a $60 game. But you could pick it up for $30 on Steam. It's still $30. So
we got to give those guys credit, because I don't think their launch went nearly as well as they hoped. And that's Sean Murray, right? That's okay.
Yep.
So I know that guy was probably disappointed with the launch and with some of the press and all that. And I gotta give those guys and that team some credit for sticking with it, because we're what, a year or a year and a half in.
And 2 years on August 12th.
And I think that game is starting to get good. And I think it may be to the point now where it's like, okay, you and I've got to play it. And if we feel that way, you know, there's a zillion other people that probably feel that way. And because of that, those guys are probably going to do okay with this game, even with all the trouble that they had to start.
Yep. Agreed. And like you said, good for them sticking with it. Again, 2 years almost at this point after the release date, and they've put out several updates, including this really significant one that they just put out, haven't charged for any of them. Like, again, it's a $60 game still, not on sale. It's on sale right now, so if you're interested, pick it up now. Otherwise, it's a $60 game for an indie title, but this very big, ambitious indie title. And so good on them for sticking with it, for trying to make something that, again, landed poorly for a lot of people into something that people are excited about. The I always like looking at Steam, because they have on the reviews section, they have the recent reviews and then the all reviews. The all reviews for No Man's Sky are still mixed, and they're probably going to be mixed for a long time. But the recent reviews after the next update are very positive, and so that reflects well on them. And it's kind of I always like a good redemption story. This feels like it's turning into a pretty good redemption story of a game that we were kind of geeked out about 3 or 4 years ago and then disappointed by, and now back to maybe being somewhat geeked out about. I'm gonna have to give it a try for sure. So I may pick it up while it's on sale. Now that, like, we're talking about it, I'm like, I really should.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, okay,
we need a copy of that. Yeah. And we need a couple copies, because now there's co-op, and that seems like a really smart thing for this game. So quickly to finish up, again, go by the show notes. Lots of stuff we didn't get to, including a couple of indie game release windows, release dates, including Donut County, which is the kind of Katamari Damacy game we saw at E3 a couple years ago that looks super weird, and I don't get it. But because it looks like Katamari Damacy, I'm into it, because I love playing some Katamari. And so that and Guacamelee 2, which is crazy Metroidvania weirdness with like a Mexican wrestler that I don't quite get what's going on with it. It kind of looks awesome. But release dates game releases from the past week or so, I'll mention a few that seem significant really quick. First of all, the Banner Saga 3, which the Banner Saga has been around for a while. The Banner Saga 3 is out on PS4, Xbox One, PC, Switch. And on Metacritic is 86, 87, 88, depending on the platform, but they're in the kind of high 80s on everything. And that seems really impressive, and I was kind of shocked by that. So it's weird. I don't get it. It's an RPG that is like this very cartoony style. Whatever. Looks cool. So I was going to mention Monster Slayers on the PC is an 86. Yakuza 0. On the PC, you can get on Steam an 86. And this is a game that I've never played any of the Yakuza series stuff, but I've heard a couple of people talking about it in the past week or so with the Yakuza 0 coming. And, like, apparently it's phenomenal. Like, people super geeking out over this thing. So, check that one out. I mentioned This Is the Police 2 already on Steam. Also, Chasm on Steam, procedurally generated crazy platformer Metroidvania with some cool looking art style. We actually saw E3 and talked about a little bit of it. So
more stuff that we have got to play.
It's ridiculous. It's never ending, man. And every week there's a lot more of it. So Yeah. By the way, I'll just mention, so you go by the show notes and see this. We just pull these off of Metacritic each week to see you know, what was released and what the scores are. The Xbox One, like it always shows the like top five or five most recent or whatever for each platform. All five on the Xbox One are green, are at least 75 or above scores, which is pretty impressive. So way to go, Xbox One.
They might be moving up slightly.
Maybe so. So yeah, there you go with game releases. Go check them out.
So, couple of things before we wrap up. We have to mention, we need segments in this show. You guys are what make this happen. There's a couple of different ways you can do that. You can email us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And, of course, that will cut you off after about 3 minutes. But if you will call us back and keep talking, we will put that together for as many times as you would like. So please feel free to do that. We don't care what you talk about. You can talk about basically anything, and we will play it. But we definitely need more segments. We've Yep. got the Facebook. We've got the Twitter. We've got, I don't believe there's actual new content on the website, but there will be very, very, very soon.
Yep.
And
when in doubt, everything else we just mentioned, voicemail line, email, Facebook, Twitter, everything's accessible from gaminguncensored.com. So when in doubt, just go to gaminguncensored.com. You can find everything there.
That is absolutely true. And we have, I mean, look, we're coming up on the end of the summer. We're coming up on the start of the ramp up to the holiday season. I believe Gamescom is coming up. Actually, they just did that 2 weeks ago, didn't they?
When is that? I'll look it up real quick.
I think it's the beginning of September, October. My point is that as if we didn't have enough to talk about, it's about to get serious in the gaming as we ramp up to the holiday season, which will be here before we can blink.
So, by the way, August 21st is when Gamescom starts. So,
look at that. I'm right on top of it.
Also, let me mention really quick, because we haven't put a call out for this in the past couple of shows. Please go by iTunes/Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or other places that you find this podcast. I don't think we're on Spotify yet. I'm still working on that. Apparently it's tricky to get on Spotify. So once we get there on Spotify or wherever you download this podcast or stream this podcast from, give us a review. Go by and preferably give us a good review, but if not, whatever.
Right.
Take that too. But if you're listening to the show still, you dig what we do, go give us a review. It helps people find the show, get some more people listening, which would be great. And you know, share us on Twitter, social media, whatever. Go by at Podcast GU. We post every new show there, and so you can just retweet that tweet, and that would be awesome. We'd just love to get some more people listening to the show. So yeah, do that, please. Thank you.
Because we love doing this thing, so
we do.
Give us more reasons to do this thing, and let's face it, we need all of the break/playtime we can get.
Yes.
Because being an adult is not fun. And I would rather not be an adult so much. So there's that. As far as everything else, I think we are good. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for another week, you are listening to Gaming Uncensored only on GamingUncensored.com. And we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for this show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.